Our scripture text this morning is taken from the book of Job. Job chapter 1 in verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. Today we begin our study of a new book of the Bible, the book of Job. Author unknown, but quite possibly Elihu, was written around 2000 BC. That's 500 years before Moses penned the first five books. That's the timing of the events in the book. And if that book was written by Job or one of his contemporaries, that would have been the time of the authorship of the book as well. Job was a patriarch in the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. A man of God who lived before the giving of the Old Testament Mosaic Law. As it was written of Abraham, so we can say that Job was justified by his faith. And he believed in the Lord, and he, that is God, accounted it to him for righteousness. God's method of justifying sinners has never changed. Those in the Old Testament days were saved by looking forward to the fulfillment of God's promises in the future. And today, we look back on God's promises, God's salvation having been fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord, our God, our Savior. Now it was that faith, Job's great faith, that got him through great trials. The trials that Job experienced were second to none, save that of our Lord Jesus Christ, the man of sorrows, who experienced the greatest trials of all. Now this ought to put things in perspective in our times of trial, in our times of sorrow. We can understand that God can empathize with our compassion, with his compassion, with us through our sorrows, because he's been there. Now, Job knew God, and he knew God well. And therefore, Job feared God, and he shunned evil. Now, we don't hear a lot about the importance of a healthy fear of God these days, do we? People are afraid to talk about it. It does not fill seats in the church, nor does it lend itself well as a topic for today's entertainment-driven church model. To this, Scripture has something to say. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearance and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. In other words, the natural state of man is such that we want to hear what we want to hear. Amen? And there we have a second reason. People do not want to hear about a just and a holy God. Jesus Christ, our God, is both of these in addition to being love. Now, a third reason, a more personal one, is that an earthly father or authority figure has instilled an unhealthy fear into the mind and emotions of many people. The father, the earthly father that many know, is not comparable in any way, shape, or form to the heavenly father that we read about in the scriptures. But know this, that God, your heavenly father, will always do right, love perfectly, and he will provide gentle love when needed. And yeah, he's going to provide some tough love when you need that too. And we thank him for both. Consider where the fear of the Lord will take you in this life, in the life to come. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. How can we know God without a healthy fear of the Lord? First, fear of God leads to an obedient life. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul? In this saying, it's not just for the children of Israel, but Jesus quotes it in the Gospels and sets these things forth for you and I too. It is a trans-dispensational truth. In other words, it's true for all ages and to be followed for those of all time. Secondly, fear of God leads to a peaceful life. Peter writes, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Peter gives us four things to do. Without qualification, he doesn't say honor all people if you think you're right. Love the brotherhood if you approve of what they're doing. Fear God when it's convenient for you. And honor the king if you voted for him. Now he gives us four direct commands. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Respect for God, have respect for God, and have respect for those whom God has placed or allowed to be in positions of authority. Follow these simple steps and you'll have a peaceful life. You'll live at peace with God, you'll live at peace with men, and you won't drive yourself crazy finding reasons why you shouldn't do the things which God told you to do. Third, fear of God leads to a sanctified life. Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Make your peace with God through Jesus Christ and take care of your eternal future. Many people are very diligent to set their earthly affairs in order. They take care of their 401k, their retirement account. They pre-plan for their own burial by a contract. But yet these same people don't take care of where they themselves will go on that same day. Consider that with me for a moment. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you not even fear God, seeing you're under the same condemnation? Friends, set your eternal future in order. And you will find everything else will fall into place when you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness and make that your number one priority. This is what it means to seek and to live a sanctified or a set apart life. Your perspective will change, and God will empower you to do the things that you need to do to get through each and every day. We also read in our text that Job shunned evil. Now, the shunning of evil is the natural result of the working out of godly fear in one's heart and life. If you don't fear God, you're just going to go with the flow of the world. But if you fear God, you will desire those things which God desires for you, and you will shun evil. The desires and the actions of the earnest Christian are toward God and away from the world. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. People are not going to understand why you don't want to go to that social event, because all kinds of foolishness is going on. Because you know that Uncle Oscar is going to have a few too many, and he's going to act like a fool. And that the things and the words which are spoken are going to be blasphemous to the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah, you'll hear his name there a few times, but not in an honorable context. People are not going to get that. If you are truly a Christian, you are not of the world, you are separate from the world, and by not only your fruits, but by your behavior and your life choices, people are going to know whether you're the real deal or not. Know this, that in the last times, in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. That sounds like 2019. But what's interesting is the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5 says, having a form of godliness but denying its power. There are people who live like the devil and yet play the game. Play Christian, if you will. And I don't say this mainly so you can discern these things in others, but so that you might discern these things in yourself. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Now, Job is called blameless and upright because he had divine righteousness imputed to him. Because of his faith in God and God's promises to come. As a true believer, Job's spiritual nature and state was such that he feared God and shunned evil. Sadly, too many people are pretending to be Christians, and their outward actions betray the true spiritual state of the heart. Let me ask you some questions. Do you have a healthy fear of God? The kind that leads you to repent and to seek divine help and forgiveness on a daily basis? Does that describe you? Do you shun evil? Are you playing around the edges of evil in one or more areas of your life, thinking maybe I'll just go this far with this? Are you willfully in a sin pattern? Have you already crossed the line? Well, there's a bumper sticker that some wise guy came up with that says, Jesus is the answer, but what's the question? The question is, what is the answer to all of my needs? How do I find peace with God? Whatever state you are in, Jesus Christ is the answer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the example of your servant Job. We pray that we might find faith and exhibit faith of the same kind, whether things are going good for us or not so good, whether we're rejoicing or whether we're sorrowing. Lord, that you might teach us to fear you, not to forget that although you are a friend and although you came down to establish a personal relationship with those who want it, that at the same time you are infinitely holy and greater than we are, that you have authority over life and death, that you are the judge of all the earth, that you discern not just the righteousness or lack thereof of our actions, but also even the thoughts and the intents of our heart. Lord, help us that we may shun evil. Grant us wisdom and discernment as to the company we keep, as to the places where we go, the functions that we attend, the people that we hang with. Lord, save us and call to our attention any false sense of pride that thinks that we can play games with just a little sin, thinking that it's not going to come back and hatch and find us out in the end. For you've written for our admonishment, And we can be sure that our sin will find us out. We pray that if there be any here who have been playing games spiritually, maybe procrastinating because of an awareness or a non-awareness that suddenly become an awareness that God is to be feared, and that there's a life after this that ought to be prepared for. That such a one might experience a second birth and not become a partaker of the second death spoken of in the book of Revelation. We pray that we're also spurred to be lights and share hope in our circles as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.